With EPSA's third annual Competitive Power Summit right around the corner, we wanted to use this month's episode as an opportunity to give our listeners a sneak preview of what's to come. We spoke with our four panel moderators, Politico Energy reporter Catherine Morehouse, former Wall Street Journal and Washington Post reporter Tim Pucco, consultant and former API Vice President of Public Affairs Ben Marter, and Bloomberg Energy reporter Daniel Moore. You're about to hear what expertise, interests, and focus each moderator brings to the competitive power table, what they're most excited about discussing with their panel, and more. By the end of this episode, you'll know what to expect going into the Competitive Power Summit, and if you haven't already, you'll want to register to attend. We'll begin with Catherine Morehouse. Our first guest is Catherine Morehouse. Kat has been writing for Politico since 2021, and before that, spent 3 years covering federal energy policy at Utility Dive. She'll be moderating our first panel of the day, Reliability Concerns in RTOs Across the Nation, which will include senior executives from ERCOT, ISO New England, New York ISO, and the Southwest Power Pool. Thank you, Kat Morehouse, for joining me for a quick catch-up on the Competitive Power Summit, where you're going to moderate one of our panels. And I just have a few questions I want to ask you about kind of how you're thinking about things and what you hope to get out of it. So given your reporting on energy issues, and what do you kind of hope to highlight or draw attention to as part of the panel you're going to be moderating?
Yeah, I'm really, really excited about this panel, first of all, I should say. I think it's a really great time to kind of bring together all of these different regions and different voices that are all, you know, experiencing different versions of the same thing, I guess I would say. You know, these are very diverse regions, both in terms of their geography and in terms of their resources. And they're all facing, you know, the nation is really facing these challenges when it comes to reliability, and particularly reliability during the winter time periods. And you know, you're really hearing growing warnings from each grid operators, again, just in different ways about, you know, how either the resource mix change or state policies or what have you might be impacting their individual mandates to keep a reliable system.
And I know that you've done a lot of reporting on reliability, and you've been covering it closely. And as you note, there'll be four of the senior leaders from the nation's RTOs that I'm sure will certainly have opinions about the issue and how they're addressing it. What do you think attendees should be looking forward to as part of the discussion?
Yeah, I think this is a really unique opportunity to, like you said, hear from, you know, the people who are really in charge of keeping the lights on for large swaths of the population. You know, I've spoken before with Gordon Van Wheely, for instance, and I've always walked away from those conversations just very conscious of just how much pressure there is and how heavy of a responsibility it is to be keeping the lights on amid all of these changes. So I just think it's a really unique opportunity to hear from four different executives of these massive grid operators. They just bring such a unique perspective and are juggling so many different things that I'm really looking forward to hearing what they have to say.
Yeah, I do think it's interesting. There's different market models. There's multiple state jurisdictions. There's two single state RTOs that'll be represented, but very different objectives and resource mixes on the ground and where they're going. So I do think you're going to get a real pretty broad scope or a broad set of feedback that you'll be able to, I think, dig into. And I know that you're anxious to do that. Speaking of that, are there unique angles or items that you intend to explore during the discussion, or anything that people should put their antenna up to listen for as you think about how you're going to approach some of this?
Yeah, I think there are definitely a few things. One thing I'm really interested in is electric gas coordination. I think that's a really critical piece of this whole picture, especially in regions where gas is a really prominent fuel source. And wintertime reliability also seems to be, you know, a particular problem. And I'm also, you know, I could go on and on, but those are two things. Of course, you know, some of these regions are also trying to get offshore wind off the ground. That's been a challenge. How might that contribute to reliability in the future? And then, of course, like I said, you know, different state policies and just the how different resource mixes play into different considerations of resource adequacy and reliability, I think will be really interesting to dig into more.
Yeah, I think when you describe it that way, I worry that we don't have near enough time for our panel. But if we raise some of the issues, I think that'll be good. So, at the risk of giving people a little homework assignment, what do you think people should be thinking about when it comes to reliability across the country more broadly or by the region before they come to the CPS? And what might they expect to hear from panelists? Or what do you hope to get out of them?
Yeah, I guess what I always, I don't, I guess it's hard for me to say exactly what other people should be thinking about, but I guess what I always think about is, what are we expecting next? Like, what are the next big things to happen? Like,
Yeah.
and where are we not taking action where maybe we should be taking action? Where are we making progress? So yeah, just always looking ahead, thinking about what FERC has out there and what they possibly could put out there to, improve the outlook, what NERC has done, what NERC could do, and again, just kind of, yeah, thinking about the policies that even these grid operators, might consider. So I'm always on the lookout for hearing kind of new solutions and potential new policy things that maybe these executives who are in these rooms, are considering that I haven't heard about before.
Yeah, I think you're raising the issue that we sometimes think about, which is, are we fighting the last war, or are we, trying to solve problems that what we used to have to deal with, and the grid is changing so fast? Are we thinking ahead to where we ought to be going as opposed to where we are? So, last question I'll ask you, what are you most looking forward to with regard to the panel or your discussion with these folks?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to just to really getting the latest sense of where folks are. Like I said, we've been hearing about some of this stuff over the years, but I think an updated perspective of where are we today following this last winter, heading into this summer, how have things changed over even the last year? What is the outlook? How might transmission help potentially? We have these FERC transmission rules coming up, and how might some of the, just these new policies or new rules that we have coming out potentially help, and what still needs to be done?
Kat, I really appreciate your time today. We've got a lot of ground that we're going to cover at the CPS. I appreciate you being willing to do that with us, and we look forward to a great discussion. Really, second thing in the morning, right after we hear from Jim Robb, we'll hear from your panel. So I'm very much looking forward to it and appreciate your time.
Great. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it too. Thanks so much.
Our next guest is Tim Pucco. Tim is a seasoned energy and climate reporter with years of experience at The Wall Street Journal, The Washington Post, and more. Tim will be moderating our panel, which brings together a diverse variety of expert perspectives on meeting rising electricity demand amidst ambitious electrification goals. In the panel discussion, we'll hear voices from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, Google, the United Association of Union Plumbers and Pipefitters, and the New York State Public Service Commission. Up next, here's Tim.
Well, thanks, Tim, for taking a few minutes to chat with us. I wanted to ask you a couple of questions in advance of the EPSA Competitive Power Summit, kind of some important issues that you'll be discussing with regard to load growth, electrification, energy demand, and all the things associated with that. And given your experience reporting on energy issues, what do you hope to highlight or draw attention to as part of the panel that you'll be moderating?
Well, thanks for having me, Todd. And I think everyone knows how much I love writing about energy and climate and how interesting I think it is. But I do think we're in an especially fascinating time, and for a lot of reasons. But the grid, in my humble opinion, might be like the biggest, largely unknown story of them all. We're on the verge of an absolute sea change in how we get power and how much power we get. I mean, this for sure, and I'm really excited to have a bunch of panelists who are on top of this. But it's been years when we haven't really had any material growth in electricity demand at all. It's just been, it's a system that people really take for granted and just expect to be there all the time. And the stableness of it. It really just has, I think, for a long time we lived in a system that is relatively boring. And even during some good economic times, we've seen that the electricity grid demand isn't really changing that much. And we've probably gotten to a point where we take that for granted too. But now it seems like we're at a moment where all that's going to change. All this new technology, all the demands of climate change, we could be on the verge of really big demand growth. Except it's not clear whether we even have the grid to support that and keep delivering power in the reliable way that we've all grown used to.
You know, I think you've captured one of the things I often say, which is the consumer wants their lights on, beer cold, and water warm. And in the end, they don't want to pay very much for it. So I think that's much of what the discussion will likely center around. And you've rightly noted that electrification and increased demand from all sorts of things, whether it's onshoring or artificial intelligence or what have you, electricity demand growth is upon us. What insights are you hoping the panelists will share as part of the discussion that you're going to lead?
I think mostly where that new demand is coming from and how big it's going to get in each sector. I'm glad that you mentioned AI in particular. We hear a lot about electrification broadly, yep. You know, EVs, a lot of different new technology that is out there. But AI is something that I'm not sure that people of all stripes are really thinking about it because it's so new. But some yep. of the reports that we're starting to get about what it alone, the demand load that it might put on the system are, I don't think it's overstatement to say, like, a little bit concerning. I mean, in some ways, it's a new technology and a new business, and there's a lot of reason for optimism about what comes with it. But, you know, we've seen throughout history that sometimes when we get new technologies that make things more efficient, what that ultimately leads to is almost exponential growth in demand.
Yeah, the numbers are pretty staggering.
Yeah. And so, you know, just trying to get our minds wrapped around what that leads to going forward, how big demand growth could get, exactly where it's coming from, you know, and some of the big pressure points that come with that, either in the sources of demand or the potential risks that come from changes that big.
Given the breadth of the issue, as you've just described it, how are you hoping to frame the discussion?
Well, it's 2024, and so this might be a little bit difficult, but I'd like to frame it in maybe a non-political way. I'd like to avoid
that would be refreshing.
This, yeah. I mean, it's this is a hot button issue. Energy sure. tends to be a hot button political issue, but when we're talking about the electric grid in particular, and some of these new technological advancements, a lot of this is highly technical, technocratic. But also affects everyone, and often in the same way, sort of across the board and in every place. And so, you know, I'm hoping that we can push for some clear-eyed assessments of what's at stake and how to manage some potentially big problems.
Yeah, let me build on that, because I think you raise a couple of good points. Are there any unique angles that you're looking to maybe explore with the panelists, or anything that people should have their antenna raised to be listening for as part of your discussion?
Well, one thing that really gets me, I don't know if it's unique, but these problems in the United States in particular tend to be so balkanized. Yeah. And, you know, the way the electric grid in the United States developed was at you know, years and years and years ago, decades ago, was at times a real advantage for us because it allowed things to develop quickly. Mm-hmm. But I, you know, one of my first energy editors at the Wall Street Journal used to talk about how the Soviets and the legacy in Russia, like, oftentimes they have a better grid than we do because it was put together in a comprehensive way. I'm not sure that that's still true today, but, you know, the fact is we deal with some very serious problems because we have such a balkanized system at a time when the issues really cross so many jurisdictions. You know, mm-hmm. the pressures of climate change and the energy transition, ideally the way to solve them most efficiently, effectively, cleanly, often, as we understand today, would require, you know, cross-state transmission lines, cross-state solutions. But the political incentives to do some of those things often aren't there. In fact, and sometimes it's the opposite, the political pressures to actually just straight up stymie solutions. And so, you know, I'm curious if we've seen at a time when there's a lot more money out there, for the energy transition, when there's a lot more political impetus to get projects moving, when there's even impetus from Wall Street to mm-hmm. fund projects and do them quickly, if we've seen any advancements on that, if there's any hope to solving some of those, you know, cross-state, cross-border jurisdictional issues or just bad incentives that often get in the way of our potentially, you know, biggest, most efficiently successful projects, proposals.
So again, you're doing a terrific job. I think people ought to be very intrigued about the discussion because you're raising questions as we talk. But kind of what are you most looking forward to in the panel? Or perhaps asked another way, what do you think people should be thinking about when it comes to reliability and costs and the implications of the energy expansion, as we call it, energy transition, as you've called it, before they get to the Competitive Power Summit and what they might hear from the panelists?
Well, I will say on the panel, one thing I'm excited about is that we have like an honest to God public service commissioner on there.
That's right.
And it's always good, I think, to, especially in a situation like this, to hear from somebody who is on the front lines of managing all this, so for someone from one of our biggest states too. You know, I alluded to this before, all the money that's floating out there right now, coming from government into these problems, to try to deal with these problems.
Yep.
And even in our most competitive markets, you know, government still has a huge hand. Like these markets are often, even the most competitive ones, are still pretty heavily regulated.
That's
and
correct.
So it's not just like oil markets where you can kind of turn international shipments around on a dime. You're getting electricity from place to place, getting the grid functioning, keeping it functioning requires a lot more upfront coordination between, you know, the government and the private sector. And to go back to government, even just often like very disparate sectors, different disparate levels of government. And so, you know, I'm going to be keen to hear, and I'm excited for the potential that we get to learn about whether our government, some of our regulators and policymakers are as nimble and responsive right now as the fast developing technology and challenges that we're all facing in keeping the grid functioning the way we need it to.
Tim, you have done a terrific job, I think, of teeing up what's going to be an excellent panel discussion. I'm looking forward to your leading the discussion with all of the panelists and certainly appreciate your willingness to do so when you have so much going on. And we're grateful to have you, and we're looking forward to seeing you on the 26th of March.
Well, you guys always bring a great group of people together. And so I think everyone should be pretty excited about the panelists that you have and the opportunity that we have together to get through some of these issues.
We're going to hear next from the only panelist who isn't a reporter, though he has long experience working directly with the media and approaching energy issues from a messaging perspective. With nearly a decade on Capitol Hill working for both House and Senate members, years leading public affairs for the American Petroleum Institute, and now the founder of his own consulting firm, Ben Martyr joins us to discuss his thoughts on the upcoming panel, innovation, and bridging the reliability gap. He'll be speaking with panelists from the Clean Hydrogen Future Coalition, Battelle, and Covarrubia Energy. Here's Ben. Before we talk about the panel and what you hope to talk about, can you tell us a little bit about who you're with and what you do?
Yeah, I'm with the Forum Consulting, and what I do is offer high-level strategic advice and strategies to primarily clients in the energy world. I like to think that I sit at the intersection of public relations and government relations because the two are inextricably linked in this day and age, and I'm delighted to be here.
Well, great. We certainly appreciate you taking the time. We're anxious for people to come to the Competitive Power Summit. And so I've got a couple of questions because you're going to moderate a particularly important panel. So what are you looking forward to the most about the panel that you're going to be moderating for us?
Well, first and foremost, I'm looking forward to learning myself. You know, these topics, particularly innovation in power markets, is something that is fascinating to me personally and professionally. And the lineup of experts that will be speaking will I think both offer a sort of a detailed technical perspective, but also help connect things back to consumers in this country and sort of help us all explain why this matters. You know, why should people care where their power comes from? I think it should be a really interesting discussion.
Yeah, and I'm particularly interested in the variety of topics because we've got someone that's going to talk about hydrogen. We've got someone that's going to talk about CCS, which, of course, those are two of the things that are
at least for the time being, are included in the proposed rule from the EPA that's going to affect power generation, but also someone that's going to talk about pyrolysis. And that was a subject that I had to do a little digging on myself, even as we got started. So do you view the breadth of topics and the fact that a lot of these are cutting edge technologies as something that is particularly important, or are these kind of the things that we're looking at the 3 to 5 year window, or is that kind of the question you want to have answered as part of your discussion?
Yeah, I mean, I think we'll all be interested to know, one, you know, what different companies are doing to innovate in this space, because I think, you know, that's some of the quite frankly, the coolest news mm-hmm. in the industry is, you know, this is not necessarily happening at the government level. This is happening in, you know, companies' R&D shops. Yep. And so many companies are doing it a little bit differently or a lot differently. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, without divulging any trade secrets, right. To kind of hear about how different companies are innovating is really exciting. And to answer your question, I think that's good news in the immediate term, but also in the long term as well.
You know, there's a lot of talk around getting to a net zero future and how we're going to get there and who's going to help us do that. And of course, you know that EPSA's mission is really focusing on the benefits of competition and really reliability as well. I guess I hate to leave that out because it's become more and more apparent about the importance of reliability. How do you think about approaching these issues, both with the panelists that you're going to talk to, but also from the work as you described it, you know, the intersection between public policy and communication? These are critical issues that affect, you know, mom and pop, but industry, you know, the high tech. We hear about data centers and artificial intelligence all the time. How are you thinking about that? And how do you think that people who are attending ought to think about the things they're going to hear or the questions that might get answered?
Well, I think one of the things I'm most interested in focusing in on is the what we're calling the reality gap.
Yeah.
You know, particularly as we talk about net zero and other commitments that are a little bit amorphous out mm-hmm. there, right? That these are concepts like the energy transition or the energy addition or expansion. You know, I've as a communications professional, I've spent a lot of my career thinking about how we talk about things, what mm-hmm. are the words that we use and what does that mean? And obviously words matter big time. The legislation that we pass in this country and the regulations that are promulgated from the federal government are made up of words. The words that we use to explain a government action versus, you know, what an individual company in a power market is doing or, you know, aspires to do is really important. So, mm-hmm. you know, I'm really excited to kind of dig into what different experts think about the reality gap, what the reality gap means. You know, is the energy transition, has that been sort of beaten over our heads for so long that the American people have an expectation about mm-hmm. what the energy transition is? And are we going, you know, can we go quickly from one power source to another? It's entirely subjective, obviously, you know, what different people think that a net zero commitment could mean, it matters very much. So really digging into that is something I'm interested in.
Yeah, the last thing I'll ask you is, you know, how do you think about or how do you intend to approach some of our panelists about questions around costs and challenges? I mean, we often hear about the valley of death between the research lab and commercialization. Are those areas that you think are important, or are those things that we're going to be digging into with the panelists that you're going to talk to?
Yeah, absolutely important. I think one thing that I'd like to hear our experts explain is what they feel the barriers are, both technologically or governmentally imposed barriers to scaling the innovations that they are working on,
yep.
right? Because an innovation or a new technology that's sort of hatched in a laboratory might work well in the laboratory or might work well on paper, but yeah. you know, can it work and can it be both profitable for the company and beneficial for the consumer at scale? There are so many barriers to making that happen, to realizing the innovations that are happening. But I think hearing about how we can make it work to power our grids in this country should be really, really interesting too.
Last and certainly not least,
we have Bloomberg Energy reporter Daniel Moore. With a prolific career writing on a diverse range of topics, both U.S. energy related and also globally, Daniel brings us a unique perspective on the nation's clean energy goals, the hurdles and challenges to achieving reliability, and what approaches are being discussed to get us to a clean, reliable, and cost-effective energy mix. Daniel's panel will focus on an issue we at EPSA believe is one of the most important aspects of improving the power grid and addressing rising demand, gas-electric harmonization. We'll hear panelists from the Natural Gas Supply Association, the Interstate Natural Gas Association of America, and the American Petroleum Institute. And representing the electric side here at EPSA, I'll be joining the conversation as well. Here's Daniel. Daniel, thanks for taking a few minutes to chat with us today about the upcoming Competitive Power Summit that EPSA is sponsoring on March 26th. You have the pleasure, of moderating the last panel of the day after we've gone through a lot of other issues. And of course, it's one of the ones that is getting a lot of attention these days, and that's gas-electric coordination or gas-electric harmonization, depending on who you're talking to and how they're describing it. I'm curious if you have any views based on your reporting or based on your thinking about how you're looking at gas-electric coordination or gas-electric harmonization as you write for Bloomberg.
Yeah, definitely. Last but not least, right? Exactly. This is a really important issue. So I cover energy policy at Bloomberg. I focus on regulatory issues at the Energy Department and Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. And so a big part of my beat is looking at power grid issues. And so over the years, as I've covered energy policy and energy issues, natural gas has grown to be a pretty big portion of electricity generation. And so I've come into this gas electric coordination issue from the perspective of keeping the lights on and getting through winter storms and getting through grid reliability events. And as we face more and more extreme weather events, and as natural gas becomes a bigger part of the power grid, you know, I've thought about stories and issues related to fuel security and fuel supply for power plants. And so I started picking this up a year or two ago, certainly after a lot of the recent winter storms. Yep. And I really think this is a crucial issue and one of the top issues that regulators are going to be thinking about, not only in Washington, but across the country and in state capitals. So I think it's a really important issue. And I think about it in terms of, you know, what keeps the lights on and what should, you know, consumers know about it.
Yeah. And I think you raise a lot of the issues that I know that the panelists will want to talk about. The good news is that Jim Robb is going to join us, the CEO of NERC. I'm sure this will be one of the things he's going to want to talk about. And then Julie Fedorchik, who is the president of NARUC and North Dakota PSC commissioner, who has stood up the GEAR effort at NARUC to talk about gas electric coordination issues, is also going to be presenting. So we're going to get a lot of attention to this, either directly or indirectly. So I guess as you look at framing up the panel and the discussion that you're going to lead, what are the things that you most are interested in digging into? Of course, you're going to be hearing from the generator side, from the pipeline industry, from exploration and production representatives, as well as the gas marketers, which really covers the whole value chain. So how are you thinking about the issues you want to tackle as part of that discussion?
Yeah, it's an interesting group of people to get together, and it encompasses the entire value chain of natural gas and up into the point of burning it for electricity. Yep. And so I'm really excited for it. And I think from my perspective, I'm always interested in what the industry is doing on its own and what the industry is working together to accomplish. And I know you all have been working on the Reliability Alliance and on, you know, a lot of kind of industry-led initiatives to try to harmonize, to just try to be at the same table talking about these issues and making progress, because we know this is such a big issue and it comes up over and over again during winter storms. And so as a reporter covering this and writing about it when the lights go out, or when the heat goes out during winter storms, you know, I'm always curious, okay, what are you all thinking about? What's on your minds? How are you actually making progress on this issue and getting ahead of the next winter storm? I'm hoping to, you know, kind of identify the areas of agreement, I guess, and then also get a sense of maybe where the industries aren't as aligned and maybe there's room for improvement and room to sit down and hammer out some compromises on things, because this is not as I understand it, a very easy issue to solve overnight and to get everyone to agree on. And so calling out areas of agreement, but also trying to look ahead at the next winter storm and the next, the next
That's
peak
right.
demand day in the summer, and think about how are we going to get ahead of that? So my questions will focus a lot on that.
Great. And I think those are aimed in exactly the right direction. I think you're right. If this issue were easy, it would already be resolved and we'd be talking about something else. So this is certainly going to warrant some additional attention. That's why we're talking about it during the course of the day. And I think your effort to probe at some of the areas of where the agreement is, where the disagreement may be, and how to bridge the two into a workable outcome, I think it's going to be critically important. I know that is certainly what Jim Robb is focused on and others. So we're happy to engage in that conversation. Are there things that you would want people to perhaps be paying specific attention to as you're thinking about how you're going to try to tackle some of those issues? Just trying to get to where you think some of your key questions might land.
Sure. I think people should attend the panel because this is a dynamic issue. It's ongoing, and I think the news can come up any given week. And so I think my approach with this panel, and the reason why people should go and listen to it, is that I don't know all the questions yet. And I think that it's a really interesting issue that can change by the week. And so I have, some questions about how the industry is approaching this and maybe areas of agreement or disagreement. But I also think we're going to be talking about maybe how the winter went, how this, we saw some warmer temperatures. We didn't see any dramatic rolling blackouts or shutdowns or anything like that. So I'd be curious to hear, the industry's assessment on how the winter went and how to prepare for the next winter. But I think it's worth going because this changes by the week, and regulators' opinions will drop any given week. And so I'd be curious to hear what you all have to say about this issue that is rapidly changing, and you're making progress on it. So I think that's a good way to sell it.
Yeah, and I think you're right about that. We're hopeful that March 26th will come without any incident, but winter is not over yet. And the interesting thing is we are learning as the system is evolving that it's not merely a winter phenomenon anymore. We have spring and summer, and then of course spring and fall that are getting to be warmer or cooler, and summer heat that has, been a test to some of the system in different parts of the country. So I think it's an issue that is certainly ripe for broad discussion, and we're delighted to have you do that. So I'm sure you will dig into some of those other issues as well. As if we would wipe our brow and say the winter is over, I think we're good until December again. It's not where the industry is, and I'm confident that you will dig into those issues as well.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Energy Solutions, and we hope to see you in DC on March 26th. That's peak cherry blossom season, for those who don't know, at our third annual Competitive Power Summit. You'll get to hear in real time the panels that we discussed today, fireside chats between experts and executives in the energy space, and more. You'll also have the chance to meet our speakers and moderators at the networking reception following our program. And registration details are included in the show notes, as well as on www.epsa.org. As always, subscribe to this podcast for more in-depth interviews with leading voices in energy today. Thank you for listening to Energy Solutions. If you like this episode, please share it on social media with your coworkers, friends, and family. You can also connect with us on X at EPSA News, on LinkedIn, and on Threads at Electric Power Supply. And subscribe, follow, leave a rating or comment on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Pandora, Google, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Energy Solutions is brought to you by the Electric Power Supply Association. EPSA represents America's competitive power suppliers, which bring about 150,000 megawatts of power generation resources to customers throughout the United States. Discover the power of competition at www.epsa.org.